Co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, In His Image. Are you tired of other people tearing you down or undermining your self-esteem? Let us help you discover your worth in God's eyes. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to learn.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled, In His Image. You know, each of us is made in the image and likeness of God. And we hear that scripture so often that it becomes kind of a little bit of white noise, like a slogan in the background that we don't really ever think about the significance of it.
Truly, there are some things that we hear that we just kind of nod to without a thought in our head about it. It's just like, oh yeah, I've heard that. That's a truth. And then, boom, we don't think about it any more deeply than that. It doesn't really affect us.
But it has everything to do with how we treat other people and how we are called to expect others to treat us. And particularly to the topic of today's show, which is really all about respect. And do you have to deal with someone who is often unkind to you or disrespectful to you? Do you often wonder when or even how it's okay to stand up for yourself? Maybe you feel guilty or are made to feel selfish when you try to tell someone that they've been disrespectful or hurtful to you. Well, we're here to help today on More to Life as we help you discover your worth in God's eyes and what it really means to be made in the image and likeness of God. 877-573-7825. Let us help you gracefully stand up for yourself. Cultivate a healthy Christian sense of self-esteem and know what it means to deal effectively with people who are unkind or disrespectful to you. You know, because there are lots of ways to deal with that that are unkind and disrespectful at your time, and we want to try to avoid that, obviously. But how do we, face those people, deal with those relationships that are really characterized by that kind of disrespectful, cruel, antagonistic, all that behavior that on the one hand, we don't want to pick every fight, right? But how do we know which ones we need to pick? And how do we do it in a way that's actually leading to healing instead of just pouring more gas in the fire? 877-573-7825.
Well, face it, a lot of us don't want to pick any fight at all. You know, we do not like confrontation. On top of that, we're often informed by this thought of being made in the image and likeness of God as that other person is made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, and then our brain twists it into, I have to treat them with so much respect. I have to be incredibly polite. I have to go out of my way to serve them because I'm the person of faith and perhaps they are not, or maybe they are and we want to measure up in some way. We make it so often about that other person. And we don't see ourselves as the image and likeness of God as well. And that, as you were saying, Greg, means that we deserve to be treated as a child of God respectfully, but it also means that we are that image that then needs to hold up truth to others, because when God enters the situation, suddenly everything shifts because we have something to measure our behaviors against, our attitudes against. And so it's not about picking fights. It's about saying, how can I speak truth into this situation so that all the parties involved can be their best selves, more of that image of God.
You know, and this idea of self-esteem has kind of been spoiled by popular culture because it's all about sort of celebrating selfishness in the secular sense. And so I think that as Christians, we are kind of doubly concerned about, you know, standing up for ourselves or suspicious of that idea of cultivating self-esteem because it just feels... It just doesn't feel right, you know, in terms of that whole idea of giving ourselves in service to others and being willing to be sacrificed for the good of each other. And those things are all true, right? But for the Christian, self-esteem isn't about glorifying ourselves. It's about acknowledging that we're made in the image and likeness of God. The USCCB came up with a document years ago now, in 1986, and there's a powerful quote in it. It's economic justice for all, but they're talking about the basis for treating others with dignity in every way. And the quote here is, human personhood must be respected with a reverence that is religious. When we deal with each other, we should do so with the sense of awe that arises in the presence of something holy and sacred, for that is what human beings are. We are created in the image of God. Honestly, I wouldn't have the courage to say that on my own. the fact that the U.S. bishops said that, I think, is so powerful and so kind of mind-blowing. The idea, again, I'm going to just read it again. You know, human personhood should be respected with a reverence that is religious. When we deal with each other, we should do so with the sense of awe that arises in the presence of something holy and sacred, for that is what human beings are. We are created in the image of God. And so when we are treated disrespectfully by others, when people are unkind or cruel to us, we have an obligation to stand up for ourselves in charitable ways, in ways that assert the fact that, you know, we are sons and daughters of God and we deserve to be treated better, and in ways that remind the other person they were meant for more as well.
Well, I think that, you know, because this was from a document on economic justice for all, we often read something like this or even read Holy Scripture and say, well, that means we must treat those who are suffering economically or socially in some way with the dignity that they deserve. But we don't really apply it to, well, that means I need to treat my spouse that way, and that person needs to treat me this way. My children should be treating me with reverence and respect, but I should also be treating them as the image and likeness of God and teaching them what they deserve, not in a way that makes them haughty, but in a way that helps them know their dignity and the dignity of Christ, which of course is a servant leader. And in the workplace, in our friendships, in our extended family, this applies to all. This is not just about lifting up the downtrodden that we don't even know. It's about really integrating this into every relationship we have. We had a listener yesterday who was talking about how their boss just treats everybody as though their life doesn't matter. It's before hours, after hours, just tons of stuff that he just says, well, if all my needs are taken care of, I can run the company better, I remember was the quote, because it shocked me so much. And till 11 o'clock at night, he was going after their time and not treating them with any dignity or any respect. This happens in every area of our lives. With somebody being disrespectful to you, grumpy with you, unkind, not treating you with the dignity that you deserve, it's time to make some adjustments to that so that you can all live in the dignity of Christ that you deserve.
877-573-7825. Are you struggling to set limits with somebody who treats you disrespectfully or unkindly, someone who is antagonistic or demeaning to you in some way? Let us talk about how to help you stand up for yourself in ways that are graceful, in ways that defend your dignity as a son or daughter of God, but also remind the other person of theirs. You know, it's not about being antagonistic to people who are antagonistic to us. It's about really working for their good and reminding them that they deserve better than to act like this. But how do we do that in ways that are actually good for all of us? How do we set those boundaries with those disrespectful people? Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Every day on Mortal Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul made a series of reflections on what it takes to be a Christian disciple in the modern world, and how we can begin to discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that because we are created in the image and likeness of God, we have a right to expect to be loved and respected. In his book, Love and Responsibility, St. John Paul put forth what he called the personalistic norm. The personalistic norm means that every human being has a right to be treated like a person, not a thing. Each person has a God-given right to be loved and respected no matter what. The reason we feel shocked when we're treated poorly is that God built into each person a sense of divinely given right to be treated as his sons and daughters. We don't claim that dignity on our own. God gave it to us as a gift.
That's right. And when we're treated in a manner that offends our dignity as persons, as sons and daughters of God, we do have a God-given right to address that offense, as long as we remember that the person who offended us also has a right to be treated like a person, like a son or daughter of God, too. Now, that's where it gets tricky, right? How do we set boundaries in a way that doesn't undermine their dignity? Well, to pull this off, we need to understand the difference between setting boundaries and being defensive. Right? When we're defensive, we forget that the offender is a person. We get our back up, and we lash out. How dare you treat me like that, you jerk? Right? I mean, it's an understandable response, but it's obviously an inappropriate reaction. Setting a graceful boundary in the face of disrespect means not tolerating the disrespectful behavior while also not taking it personally. So instead of lashing out, we need to say something like, look, I can tell that you're frustrated with me, but I'm not your enemy. How can we deal with this together? And you know, when people kind of laugh at me when I say, like my clients in particular, when I say, you know, you can't take that behavior personally. How do I not take it personally? It's directed at me personally. I understand that. But when somebody is losing it like that, and we'll talk about this throughout the course of the program, when people are losing it on us like that, when they're treating us disrespectfully, when they're being antagonistic or unkind, what's really happened, it says more about where their brain is. It doesn't have anything to do with how we're reacting. They treat the dog or a lamppost the same way. When they flood with the stress, their logical brain turns off and their emotional brain takes over, and everything that comes out of their mouth, regardless of what the words are, basically are saying, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it. Right? So when somebody's being disrespectful to you, what they're really saying is, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it. And if you engage the content of what they're saying, you're just pouring gas in the fire. But if you can step back and say, look, I see, I get the message that you're hurt and you're angry and you don't know what to do about it. I get that you're frustrated with me or upset about this, but I am not your enemy. What can we do to work through this together? Now, how do we pull that off in your circumstances? Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about dealing with disrespectful and antagonistic people. How do we handle those folks gracefully in ways that protect us from their behavior, but also remind them of their dignity in Christ? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you all the difficult people that we deal with in our lives, those people who we experience as disrespectful, antagonistic, unkind, hard to deal with. And we ask you, Lord, for the grace and wisdom to know how to respond to those offenses in ways that don't pour gas on the fire, but actually lead to healing. Help us to find ways to stand up for the dignity that you have given to us by creating us in your image and making us your sons and daughters. But help us respond to that in those indignities in ways that remind the offender of their dignity in Christ as well. Help us, Lord, to deal with offenses wisely and gracefully, so that even in the face of that pain and that hurt and that frustration, we can build your kingdom by strengthening our relationships through your grace. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son,
and the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, in His Image, we're talking about dealing with disrespectful people and how to set boundaries with them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Emily, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hi, Emily. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Did you say Emily?
We did.
You are on the air. What can we do for you today?
Hi. Well, everything that you said pertains to a situation I've never known how to handle with my daughter-in-law. And most of this goes through text. She will text me with a copy to my son, which puts him in the middle, the poor guy. But she's very disrespectful to me, and I usually don't say anything because I want to be a Christ-like example, and I'll feel hurt, but I'll hang up and I'll pray a rosary.
So give me an example of what she might write. So what was, say, the last exchange that you had that shut you down like that?
Okay, it just happened. I take care of their children. Primarily, their seven-year-old she's nonverbal autistic child, and I come and I take care of him. So I asked if I could take her to my apartment for the day. And my daughter-in-law shot back, no, because. But what the reason she gave was totally untrue. So I
just What did she
said,
say?
No, that's not true. And I gave her the explanation why what she said wasn't true. And
Can you tell me what she said that wasn't true? I just don't understand.
Yes, okay. There was a fire at the apartment that I'm at, but it wasn't the house. It was the cars outside. It was put out. We were totally allowed to go back in. Everything is fine. And she said, she may not go there. There have been multiple fires. And I said, that's not true. There's never been a fire before, everything was checked out, and the police chief said we can go
so
back.
So your concern in asking to bring your granddaughter to your apartment, you were asking that, why was the need that you were trying to address by bringing that up?
Well, I asked for their permission for everything I do. I was at their house with her, and I wanted to bring her to my apartment for the day.
Right, but because you needed to do something, like what was the need you were trying to meet by having her come to your apartment instead of you going there?
Oh, because I spend a lot of time here, and I wanted to work on paper at work at home, and the kids like to play with the toys I have there.
It's a
change. It's just something different.
I understand. So here's what I'd suggest in those kinds of things. You know, don't get into an argument with her about what she said. You know, say to her, so here's my concern. I need to get X, Y, or Z done around the house, and I don't have time to do both if I come to you. So if I can't bring her to my apartment, I may not be able to watch her today. And you let her see so you just sort of present the problem to her and say, so I'm not sure what to do about it. What do you think? Right, so it's not an argument. We're using the
You're
framework.
You're still giving her the power to choose, and she has to choose between two things and see which one works better for her. But you're also making your need known and primary to be respected. I love taking care of my grandchild, but this is how it has to be done if I'm going to get my needs met as well. Suddenly, you are a person she has to actually talk to and reason through things with and make a decision with, instead of just an object she's using to make sure that, you know, her kids are taken care of.
And you're letting the boundary do the talking for you instead of trying to talk her out of what she's saying, right? So this is the format that I said at the very beginning in the introduction, right? So we say, you know, I can tell that you're frustrated, I can tell that you're upset, I can tell that whatever, you know, but I'm not the enemy, right? How can we deal with this together? So, you know, she said, no, you can't take her to the apartment because there's fires there all the time. Like, well, I mean, it's not like I live on a volcano, but fine. I'm going to let that go. So here's the thing, daughter-in-law. You know, I really love watching my granddaughter, but I also need to get this done, and I can't do that as easily there, so I'm not sure I would be able to come over unless you'd be okay with me bringing her to my apartment. What do you think we should do about that? And she might say, well, fine, I'll get somebody else to watch her today. Or she might say, well, fine, I guess you can bring her over. Or she might lose her mind. You know, but either way, you're setting up the stage for you guys to be able to work together on it instead of just arguing with her. Try that approach, and if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We've got to go to break with that. When we come back, we're talking with Anastasia Northrup, the director of NationalCatholicSingles.com, who will be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on what it means to treat each other as images of God. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
A great pair of jeans should feel just right, look great, and last for a long time. And so should your vehicle. The lineup available at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has become the envy of other car makers because everyone knows how great and long-lasting their products have become. It's no secret that Chrysler sales are skyrocketing because of their great new vehicles that are at an affordable price. Come in now during the Make This the Summer event and try yours on today at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or at pinckneychrysler.com.
If you only see the difficulty in parenting, you will never see the treasure. Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan are devoted to helping moms see the treasure at every stage of life. Project Hope provides material assistance and guidance. Adoption, foster care, and counseling services are also joyfully offered. Our Walking with Moms in Need initiative provides help and hope at every turn. To get involved or make a financial contribution, visit ccsem.org/mom. That's ccsem.org/mom.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
As Catholics, we are called to protect life at every stage, but our culture continues to impose threats against the sanctity of life, making the pro-life cause the preeminent social issue of our time. But there is hope. The Christ Medicus Foundation and CMF Bureau have partnered with one of the country's leading healthcare ministries to provide Catholics with a pathway to pro-life, Christ-centered healthcare. Support the culture of life and learn more about CMF Bureau at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled In His Image, as we talk about what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God, and how that especially enables us to respond to people who treat us disrespectfully or unkindly. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the director of NationalCatholicSingles.com and an expert on the theology of the body. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gray.
So you wanted to share with us some insights from how the theology of the body can help us understand what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God, especially when other people are treating us poorly.
Well, exactly. I love the theology of the body because just it brings some very basic points. And, for example, that since we're made in the image and likeness of God, it means that we are very good, that He created us very good in the beginning, and that we're made for communion because the Trinity is in relationship, and so we're made to be in a relationship. So I think, at least in my own life, if I can remember that even if I'm in a difficult situation with somebody, that, okay, I am very good and have dignity, and that person is very good and has dignity, and pray, God, can I see them with your vision? Show me your vision for them and for me. And then also that our ultimate goal really is to be in relationship. And so whatever it takes to do what we can on our end to love them and to be in that communion, then I think that can be kind of a guiding principle and when we're struggling in a situation.
But I think, when you say that, to love them, I think people often think that just means tolerate whatever they do. And of course, again, the theology of the body says that that's not true, that loving somebody means working for their good, which in some cases means setting boundaries and saying, look, that's an unhealthy way to treat me. This would be a healthier way to treat me. Let's do that instead.
Exactly. Well, the truth, love is, you know, works with the truth. We need the truth of the situation, not just, you know, whatever would make people feel better.
You know, so this idea that being made in the image and likeness of God, you know, gives us the right, not, we don't claim that right on our own, but as a gift from God to stand up for ourselves, but also stand up for the dignity of the offender by reminding them that they're better than how they're acting. I think important insights. Now, I know that you wanted to share about an important event for singles that's coming up that you guys are running. Tell us about that.
Yes, next month in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, we're having the 21st Conference for Single Catholics, and it's an international event and coming up September 16th through the 18th. So and we have a special promo code for all of your listeners, More to Life. Just put that in, and they will get $50 off the registration. So we want to make it possible for as many people.
That's More the number two life?
Exactly, just like on your show.
Or the number two, Life, to get $50 off the registration for the National Catholic Singles Conference. And again, give us the dates for that, Anastasia?
September 16th through the 18th.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being with us today.
We'll have a virtual component, too. So.
And folks, go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn more about that. Check it out and use the coupon code MORE2LIFE to get your discount. Anastasia, thank you so much for being with us today. Always a pleasure sharing your insights. Good luck with the conference, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank
and listeners,
you so much.
We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about those people who undermine your dignity, who treat you disrespectfully, unkindly, who are antagonistic. How do we deal gracefully with those folks? You know, on the one hand, we don't want to just become like them and lash out and pour gas in the fire. On the other, we have to do something. How do we stand up for the fact that we are sons and daughters of God, made in God's image and likeness, and also remind the other person of their worth and dignity in God's eyes, so that we can work through those difficulties and disagreements in ways that build communion? 877-573-7825. Stick around.
Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a seven-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One question I often hear is, how can I help my child deal with stress?
A recent study revealed that only 22% of kids talk to their parents about their stress, but 75% would like to be able to rely on their parents to help them cope more. We parents too readily accept answers like, "It's fine," and "I don't know," from our kids. We don't expect them to learn to express themselves, so we don't take the time to teach them and help them work through their stress. Kids are able to articulate their feelings and develop problem-solving skills, but they need to be coached to do it. Take the time to tease answers out of your children, and most of all, teach them the benefit of open communication by exhibiting it yourself. To learn more effective strategies for helping your kids cope with the stressors in their lives, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, in His image, are you tired of other people tearing you down or undermining your self-esteem, being disrespectful, unkind, or antagonistic? Let us help you discover your worth in God's eyes and find graceful ways to stand up for yourself at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Heidi, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hello, Heidi. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi there. Yes, I have got a daughter who just turned 18, and I just happened to be driving down the road, and I'm really struggling with her with being very disrespectful and not following the rules of the house. And I was actually just got off the phone with a hospital because I'm about to take her to a facility possibly to have her Baker acted. It's just disrespectful.
And you told our screener that when you try to discipline her, she threatens suicide, and that's why you're taking her to the hospital for evaluation?
Yes. Every time. So all I did this weekend was try to take her car away because she lost her job. I mean, she's not responsible and she disrespects me. So it's just like for the weekend, I'm like, you got your car taken away and you're going to have to stay at home for the weekend. And she starts supposed to start college on Monday. And she just went in, oh, I'm just going to kill myself and you can't do this. And she's done this before in the past, but I've got her into counseling, and it's been like almost a year since she's pulled this again. But every time I try to discipline her, this is her reaction. And so,
Heidi,
now,
you just said you've gotten her into counseling before. She's in counseling, she goes by herself, or was that family counseling so you can all learn how to handle this together?
It's her by herself, they wanted to see both of us at one time, but then another whole situation happened that her dad and I both went to counseling with her, and it just ended up being not good because we're divorced and she is in my care. So she ended up stopping the treatment, and she's now in therapy again with a different lady, and everything seems to be going okay, except when she's not listening to me and I have to put my thumb down with authority, and then she pulls this. And so I'm actually taking the rest of the day off because I just got off the phone with the hospital. I can't do this.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing by having her evaluated, because even if she's not serious about hurting herself, the threat is serious, and we always have to take that seriously. You know, I talk to clients or callers all the time who will say, well, you know, I don't really know that she's going to do it. I don't know that. That's not your call to make. Even if you don't think the person is actually going to go through with it, that's a sign that they are very seriously in distress and need serious attention for that problem, regardless of what it is. So, Heidi, the reason that Lisa asked if you were in counseling with her was because I understand where you're coming from. And, you know, this is a very painful, very difficult, very delicate situation, and you're doing the best that you possibly can. I want to start there, okay? This kind of behavior or these sorts of situations, they're not in the parenting books, right? So it's hard to figure out how to best respond to this. What I will say to you, okay, is from the way you're describing things, I want you to work with your daughter's therapist over time here to figure out how to stop treating relationship problems like a behavior problem, all right? Because when your daughter is losing it, all right, what she's really saying, again, is I'm hurting, I'm stressed, I'm scared, I'm angry, and I don't know what to do about it. And she lashes out at you, which is not appropriate at all, okay? That needs to be addressed. But when you confront that, I'm angry and I'm hurting and I'm stressed and I don't know what to do about it with, and I'm going to take your car away, what she hears is, I'm all alone, nobody cares, I'm drowning in my own emotions, and the only thing my mom's going to do is make it worse. Now, again, that's not your intention. That's not what you're trying to do. But that's what she hears. So, in effect, you're pouring gas on the fire, which then just escalates things for her. So you say, well, what are you supposed to do, Pop Track? So here's what I'd like you to do. All right? And again, this is not going to just fix it, because there's a bigger mental health problem going on here that she needs to be working with the counselor on, and you need to be working with that counselor on to be able to figure out how you guys can interact more effectively in this situation. When she is upset and when she's lashing out, you're going to need to approach her and say, listen, honey, I understand that you're upset. I understand that you're frustrated. I am not your enemy. You can't speak to me that way, but I want to work with you to figure out what we can do about this together. Take some time to calm down, and let's come back and talk about this when you're in a better place. Now, that's not coddling her. That's not enabling her. What you're doing is actually enabling her unintentionally, because you're pouring gas on the fire every time. What she needs to know is that you are there and that you're strong enough to help her learn to stand up to her feelings and work through her feelings without pouring gas on her feelings. Right? So when she acts that way, don't get your back up. Don't take it personally. Realize this is about where her brain is, and it's your job as the parent to be strong enough to sort of stand up and say, look, we can't have the conversation like this, but I want to have it with you, and I'm not your enemy, so please don't speak to me like I am. Go take a few minutes to calm down, and when you're in a better place, we'll work through whatever it is that you're struggling with, but we'll figure it out together. But what's happening is she, you know, so she says she lost her job, and you're frustrated with her for losing the job, and you're frustrated with her because she doesn't take responsibility for any of it. And so you go into it with this sort of lecture that you're going to need to learn how to take responsibility for yourself, young lady, and you're going to, and then she goes, well, Mom, don't you tell me what to do. How dare you? And then you take away the car, and then she threatens to kill herself. Right? And what's happening in that whole situation is nobody's really listening to each other. You know, she's feeling powerless and terrified that she's not going to be able to make it in life. She's about to go to college on Monday. She lost her job. She feels completely ineffective and unable to be a grown-up, and that's what she's coming to you with. And, you know, then she gets irritated with you because you're irritated with her, and then it just blows up from there. There's, again, I'm not blaming you for this. This is a perfectly normal thing for a parent to do, right? I mean, we don't like our kids talking to us that way. We can't put up with our kids talking to us that way. Something needs to be done about it. But what needs to be done is for us to be big enough to stand up in the face of those feelings and say, okay, we're not going to have the conversation like this. I'm not going to engage. I understand that you're upset. I understand that you're frustrated. I understand that you're terrified. I get all of that. And I'm your friend, and we're going to work through this together. But first, you're going to take some time to cool down so we can have a respectful, healthy, grown-up conversation about the next steps here. Okay? And you don't engage further, because anything you say at that point can and will be used against you, as long as she's in her lizard brain. I want you to take a look at our book, Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Even though she's on the 18-year-old side of that, the techniques that we talk about in that book for building relationship and standing up to disrespect in effective ways will really be helpful to you here. And I also want to make sure that you're involved with her counseling moving forward, so that when you get into these disagreements, these kind of, you know, exchanges that you're having here, you're not accidentally pouring gas on the fire and making it infinitely worse. You're treating a relationship problem like a behavior problem. And anytime you do that, parents, listeners, anytime you do that, things blow up. And we end up becoming part of the problem. Heidi, thank you so much for the question. You're doing exactly the right thing by having her evaluated. Please follow through with the suggestions that I'm offering you here. I think it will get you the rest of the way. But follow up with the counselor especially. And for additional tips on this very issue, check out Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about what it means to be made in God's image and likeness, especially when it comes to dealing with people who treat us like dirt. If someone is treating you disrespectfully, who is antagonistic to you, is unkind to you, let's talk about how we set appropriate boundaries in ways that defend our dignity, but also remind the offender of theirs, so that we can work together and build relationship in the face of those offenses. 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Let's talk it out together. And as we head out to a break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
Yep, we're going back to the beginning, the very root of it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them.
Each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. You know, and I just want to... I don't think there's any better reflection I can make than the quote I read at the very beginning of the show from the U.S. bishops.
Share it again.
Human personhood must be respected with a reverence that is religious. When we deal with each other, we should do so with the sense of awe that arises in the presence of something holy and sacred, for that is what human beings are. We are created in the image of God. 877-573-7825. If you're struggling with that yourself or dealing with somebody who is constantly undermining your ability to see yourself in that light, let's talk about how to set healthy boundaries and build those relationships and create healing in the face of that disrespect. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Hundreds of people in our nation have worked in the abortion industry, whether in Planned Parenthood or in independent killing centers, and have stopped doing so because of a moral conversion. We at Priests for Life minister to many of them. And the first thing they need is healing. A person cannot dehumanize the baby in the womb without dehumanizing himself. And those who make a living by killing these children destroy themselves. During August, the Silent No More campaign brings attention to this need through our Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion initiative. Learn about how abortion wounds the abortionists and their staff, and about how you can lead them to healing. Visit abortionshockwaves.com. You will also find prayers there to say for all who have performed abortions and for their healing and peace. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled In His Image. Are you tired of other people tearing you down, treating you disrespectfully, being antagonistic? Let's talk about how to set graceful boundaries with those folks and maybe even bring about some healing in those relationships. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andrea, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Andrea, welcome to Word of Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My husband and I, we just had a baby, so now we have four children.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My in-laws came down to see the new baby and our other, you know, kiddos over the summer. And they came down for a weekend. Well, we had gone to a barbecue place, and we thought, okay, you know, like, they picked the place to eat, you know, so that the kids have a place to, you know, stretch out, run around. We've been stuck inside because of the high temperatures.
Sure.
And when we went out, you know, like, my father-in-law was making comments about my three-year-old son running around, that if he knocked over an old lady, you know, there would be a lawsuit. And my own mother went with us because we had a big family dinner. And she had explained to them, you know, well, they've been cooped up inside. And my mother-in-law said, well, that's no excuse. And so my in-laws have been kind of like trying to give their unsolicited parenting advice to my husband and I. And I took a 12-week parenting class, and my husband has expressed, you know, an interest to want to do one as well. And he expressed to me that he didn't have the greatest childhood. He doesn't really know how to talk to his parents on how to gracefully tell them, well, we want to raise our kids the way we want to.
Sure. And
you kind of like had your chance.
Andrea, how far
He's
away do they live? I appreciate that
it.
They came for the weekend to see the new baby and catch up with the other grandchildren, but how far away from you do they live?
Well, we live in Texas. They live in Arkansas.
Okay, good. That's
so there's
wonderful.
Some distance there. So how often do they see? Do they come over?
Well, we try and go every Christmas to go see them. We did take a summer trip 1 year.
But, you know, it's not like they're underfoot all the time.
Very rarely.
It's not like they're underfoot every
right.
week or every day.
They're not helping
right,
to
right,
care
right.
for your
That's
children. Okay.
That's my mother. My mother is here pretty much about every day. Every other day she'll
But she's supportive to you.
She's supportive. You don't have an issue with your mom.
Right. In
okay.
fact,
okay, great.
She just left. She was watching my children.
So here's the good news. You don't. I would suggest to you that there's no point in trying to convince them of anything. And there's no. I mean, it's because there's no practical reason you would have to. Right. So for example, if they were watching your kids regularly, or
they
if they were actively
living
under,
down the block and coming over every single weekend,
if they were actively undermining you in front of your kids, or undermining your ability to discipline your kids. So for example, you know, let's say you were trying to put them in a car seat, and they were saying, that's ridiculous. You don't need a car seat. And then they were like trying to pull the kid out of your arms or something. You know, those are all situations where we need to, you know, start having more serious conversations with our parents about parenting. What they've done, I mean, they're opinionated people who sound a little controlling, and that, you know, based on your husband's sort of experience of them, they're not going to be convinced. They're not part of your life enough to bother convincing them. The best thing you can do is just either if they say something that they think is productive, then you can say, well, that's something that we can certainly take under consideration. Or if it's not productive, like, oh, they're going to run around and knock over an old lady or whatever, then you can say, well, you know, I'm sorry that you're really uncomfortable here. You know, in the future, you don't have to be part of these kinds of experiences. You know, because you're just letting them know, look, this is the way it is, and you can either be part of it or not. If they're not supportive, then you don't include them in those kinds of things in the future, because you know they can't handle it.
What I'm hearing, though, is that your husband wasn't thrilled with his childhood, is perhaps dealing with some pain of his own. That issue goes to a therapist. Okay, so he needs to talk to a therapist about healing that kind of thing. The therapist might even say, well, if it's worth it, we'll, you know, get your parents in on virtual therapy. I doubt it needs to go that far because of the distance. The most healing thing he can do for himself right now is to actively be parenting your four children. If he wants to take a parenting class, so fine. If he feels like that gives him more skills, if he wants to have the two of you participate in our new app, Catholic HOM, which is Households on Mission, we discuss a lot of this kind of thing over there where, you know, you want to be a great parent. Maybe you didn't have the best past in terms of giving you standards and ways of dealing with that? How do you do it now? Those are all great supports. But the thing that's going to heal him the most and help the two of you be the parents you want to be is just focus on loving and parenting those kids and being a great couple together. And people who are outside your daily inner or weekly circle, inner circle, you just kind of say, thank you very much, we'll take that under advisement, and you just move on, because it's not worth the anxiety and the stress. It's not going to change them, and it's only going to hurt the relationship.
Yeah, we all want our parents' approval. That's perfectly natural to kind of want to convince them of that. But since they're not in your lives, you know, more than at Christmas or, you know, a yearly visit, there's really no point in having this conversation.
I will add this to it, though. When you go there at Christmas, stay at a hotel. Just stay at a hotel.
Or don't go.
Or don't go. But if you go at Christmas, if you want to keep that relationship, go for the dinner, make sure the kids have things to do, keep a special eye on them so they're not hurting anything in the grandparents' home, and then say, gosh, these kiddos really need a nap. We're going to head on back to the hotel. Give yourself that space so you're not bumping heads up against these folks who have a different view of things. There's no reason to do that. And in all honesty, you, your husband, and your kids need that kind of space if you decide to travel somewhere.
All right. I want to second something else that Lisa said. If you're looking for additional supports, we actually had a conversation about this very issue on the Catholic HOM app. It stands for Households on Mission. It's pronounced Catholic Home, but it's spelled H-O-M. So if you are interested in that community, because it's really all about accompanying folks like yourself with a community of support, with good resources to really live the Catholic vision of family life, with approaches to discipline that are consistent with St. John Bosco's approach to child rearing. So that's all part of the Catholic Home app, and you can download that on Google Play or in your Apple Store or by visiting CatholicHOM.com to learn more about the whole program. Check it out, Andrea. Thank you so much for the call. And we've been talking today about dealing with disrespectful people. And again, I want to kind of highlight something that's very hard to really take to heart. The idea that when people are antagonistic or disrespectful or unkind, you can't take it personally. And again, when I say that, the immediate reaction, and I understand it completely, is how am I not supposed to take this personally? It's directed at me personally.
Yeah, and it hurts. It hurts. It's frustrating. It demeans me. How can I not take it personally?
You need to understand where that behavior comes from. And this is true for kids as well as adults. When kids behave disrespectfully and when adults behave respectfully, it's all coming from the same place.
Disrespectfully, yeah.
Right? When our brain floods, when we're stressed out about something, when we're upset about something, all those neurochemicals flood our system, and they force our logical brain offline. And for kids, there's not a lot of logic there to begin with, so it's easier to do with them, but it's true for adults too. Our cortex literally goes offline. You can watch this happen on a functional PET scan, for example. Your cortex goes dark and your limbic system, your lizard brain, your emotional brain lights up like a Christmas tree. And at that point, you're not thinking, how do I solve this problem? Right? You're thinking, how can I avoid the threat? How can I overpower the person? How can I lash out in some way? And that's where the disrespect and unkindness and antagonism comes from. It doesn't have anything to do with you. That person who's being offensive would treat the lamppost or the dog or anybody else who is standing in front of them exactly the same way.
Well, you see that, don't you? When somebody gets that overwhelmed, you see them, you know, kicking a vending machine or punching a wall. It's not the offense of the wall. It's just that's where their brain is flooded to.
So that's where the antagonism is coming from. So when you say to them, how dare you talk to me like that? Now I'm going to, you know, whatever, do that. Take away your car. Or now I'm going to, you know, be mean to you back. And I understand where that comes from, but that's you taking it personally, and you're pouring gas on that fire. The best thing to do in the face of those situations is to say, look, I get that you're upset. Or insert feeling here. You know, I get that you are X. And I want to help you. But I'm not your enemy. And I can't have the conversation as long as you're going to treat me like the enemy. Okay? So take some time, cool off, and I promise I'll be here for you. And we can work through this together, because I want to work through this with you. But let's start again. So what you're doing with setting that boundary, right, is you're saying, this is an unhealthy way to treat me, here's a healthier way to treat me. If you're willing to walk through that door, I'm with you. If you want to keep beating on this door and being mean to me, then I'm not going to be here. But there's your choice. Whichever way you want to go is fine with me. But I'm holding the door open for you if you want to have a healthy interaction. I'm closing the door if you don't.
That will make more effective change in that relationship. And even if nothing changes because that person is so overwrought or stubborn, you end up walking away with your own dignity. You know you've been most effective. You've kept yourself from flooding emotionally and ending up in a whirlwind of emotion and distraught.
So, you know, worst case scenario, you are protecting yourself from the offense while maintaining your dignity. Best case scenario, you're giving a way for the both of you to heal the relationship and address the offense. Right? So that's how Christians set boundaries that enable us to respect the fact that we are both me and the offender, are made in the image and likeness of God. If you're struggling to know how to do that in your particular circumstances, you can follow up with the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com, including my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. But there are lots of other resources there, especially with regard to parenting. Check that out. You can also visit CatholicHOM.com to learn more about how to create a more respectful, loving, and cherishing environment in your home. That's CatholicHOM, stands for Households on Mission. And I hope that you will have a blessed day. And remember, with God's grace, there really is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.